This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello, Richard.
In your own time, Daniel.
Yes.
And of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruz. And finally, back in the studio after a brief stint over in Europe, it is our producer, Mr. Ali Johan. He is right here with us right now. Yay, welcome back, Ali. Now then, of course, as usual, we've got a car review coming up later on. But of course, before that, it is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruz. So then, Arif, starting off with, some new vehicles don't have official prices just yet.
So if you went to Klim's last week, you would have probably looked at all the cars and asked,
how much is this thing?
How much is this thing? Exactly. Right. Usually what the answer you'll get is, I don't know.
Yeah. That's like if you go in any shop in Malaysia though, right?
I've got a new car. I don't know. But please give me your name card and I'll let you know.
I'll send you some spam email in between.
Yes.
Anyway, some of the salesmen at Klim's told me that they can't actually reveal the price of some of their cars, like the Proton X70 or the Kia Stinger GT, because the prices of these cars have yet to be approved by the government. And Malaysian Automotive Association President Dato' Aisyah Ahmad said that the delays because of the change in government and the introduction of new rules.
Wait a minute. Daniel, tell me about this. Why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Why? I think MITI, who's involved in this also, is now taking a very stricter rule, checking the actual prices, FOB, freight on board, the actual taxation that they're supposed to be involved in.
But also,
whether you're CKD, SKD, and fully imported, whether you're really paying the right amount of tax, because I think there's been a little bit, I don't know.
Okay, so from that, are you saying that the previous car prices with the previous government might not have been accurate?
No, the car prices were accurate.
Right.
But the money earned by the tax department might not have been very accurate.
Allegedly.
Maybe.
Okay. So just to be clear.
Just want to be sure.
Right. Yeah.
They really want to
okay.
be sure.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So right now, apparently all of these new cars have to pass by four ministries before their approval. So like you said, MITI, Ministry of International Trade and Industry. Now they have to pass through Ministry of Finance as well, the Royal Malaysian Customs and the JPJ. And
So Royal Malaysian Customs. Tax money, bro.
And there's also a bunch of brands like a Volvo and obviously Mercedes and BMW who want to introduce a lot of hybrids and plug-in hybrids as well. But, you know, they're quite hesitant to do that and reveal even the ballpark of what their new cars might be priced at. Because the new national automotive policy, which is due next year, hasn't come out yet. And they haven't really given any hints of what it would entail.
I'm just going to slap a huge allegedly over all of that conversation just to cover our backs, right?
Okay.
Right, moving on then. The Malaysian Automotive Institution rebrands itself. Have they gone for a new name?
Yes, they have. So they went from MAI to Marila. Marila. M-A-R-I-I.
Or Mar-2.
Mar-2.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be Mar-2.
Anyway, Mar-2 or MARI stands for Malaysian Automotive Robotics and IoT Institute.
Which that's not a mouthful at all, is it?
I know. And they said that this change, you know, it's a rebranding exercise and it adds coverage for overall mobility, intelligent transportation systems, robotics and the Internet of Things.
Hang on a minute. So if we look at that, Malaysian Automotive Robotics Institute, so that would be Marriott. No wonder they changed their name.
And Marriott just had a breach.
They did, indeed.
Data breach. So I think there's a data breach here.
No wonder they changed their name. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Tell me more.
In this rebranding exercise, they reasoned by doing all this, saying that the auto sector is the main driver behind the industry 4.0 revolution, and it's pushing the whole robotics and IoT industry so fully. So I guess to them, it would make sense to rebrand Malaysian Automotive Institute to add three more words. Which is I don't know what to feel about this. Why even rebrand it, right?
You know, the only reason I can think of, because honestly, if you're going to add more functions to the agency, you don't need to rebrand anymore.
No,
unless your friend runs a printing press and you want to start printing new letterheads and name cards and everything like that.
Allegedly.
Because, yes, because it just doesn't make any sense. You see, would the JPJ change their name? Would MOF change right. their name? Would Royal Malaysian Customs change their name? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But you still got the same function.
Are they changing staff? I mean, is there going to be a new head or anything like that? And maybe they just think, right, we need a fresh start. Let's give it a fresh name. Let's move forward. You know, let's have a fresh start.
As far as I've read, no. The CEO is still Dato' Madani Sahari.
Yep.
And he's still going to be CEO of Mari.
All right. Okay, so we're going to be expecting potentially the prototype of a new national car next year.
Yep. The government confirmed that there's no money going to be allocated to the national car, but they did say that they'll still sink in money into R&D for Proton and Perdua, even if that might not be used for the new national car, which is, you know, kind of weird.
They had a concept Perdua, right?
At yes.
Klim's
yes.
earlier this yes. year.
Yeah, the SUV.
Right.
No, the SUV was a hidden gem, but it's a done product already.
But the
concept car
that was nice.
That's yeah. nice. Something for the future, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, when it comes to Proton, I'm a little bit worried because Proton is no longer a national project.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's a Geely product. Yeah. So why would you sink R&D money?
Right.
Exactly.
Geely can sink their own R&D money into it. So this
right.
is something which I'm not really too certain about. Maybe the news is not totally read correctly, you know. I'm not talking from RF's point of view. I'm talking about the person who delivered the news. Yeah. Right. You know,
maybe we just need a bit more details on that.
Yes.
And speaking of the NAP, potentially revealed next year.
Yep. I mean, after what we've talked literally just now, it doesn't really seem like car prices are going to go down at all.
No, it just seems
like more investment, more money is going to be thrown at the new national car and all of the things around it. So I'm not confident about the new NEP next year.
And they're going to have to protect a new national car.
Yeah.
So, of course, foreign car manufacturers won't be able to play around with the price, and which means things are as usual.
Right. Business as usual.
Yes, sir.
Over at Marriott.
Yes.
Okay, story number three. This is an interesting one.
Yes, it is.
We've gone from some vehicles don't have prices to the rebrand of the Malaysian Automotive Institute to flying taxis.
Flying taxis.
Bit of a stretch, Arif.
Well, flying taxis itself is a bit of a stretch, isn't it? There was this international drone sort of competition that happened in Amsterdam, and Audi, Airbus, and Etel Design came up with a 1-to-4 scale concept of a flying taxi. And what it is that it combines a self-driving electric car with a passenger drone, and the self-driving electric car is basically a rolling chassis with a detachable cabin that can and will be picked up by a passenger drone. So imagine that you're just sitting in your car and you call the drone, and somehow, some way, a flying drone just picks the cabin you're in and you just go off somewhere while the rolling chassis is just somewhere else or driving itself home. The idea here is that you don't have to change cars to go from place to place, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever had, you know.
I like the idea of it. I see the, it's very, Thunderbirds, do you remember Thunderbirds?
Yes,
right? Thunderbirds. Okay, sorry.
Thunderbirds are a go.
Before your time.
Thunderbirds are a go.
One of those things was a rolling chassis.
Yes.
Where like a flying car would come over, pick it up and carry the passengers and whatever was inside elsewhere.
Yes.
But would it be practical though? I mean, would people even use it?
Infrastructure, if you're building it in like smart cities, which obviously use a lot of IoT, where everything is connected and there are defined pathways for vehicles, then yes, it would make sense. But for somewhere like KL, where everybody has their own way of driving and they take their own roads, it wouldn't work necessarily.
I mean, because
a city would have to be built specifically around this kind of idea.
That is true. I mean, because I was thinking about flying taxis and I was thinking, like, right. What is the use of this flying taxi?
I suspect it's more of you will be taking some kind of public transportation and then this thing will fly over and take you off to your private destination. I'd imagine. Something like that.
Well, it's fascinating.
Daniel, any thoughts to add on that?
You know if autopilot is still having problems with Tesla.
Just have to have a little dig each week, don't we?
Yeah. I'm not going to get into a flying drone.
Right, yeah. Not anytime soon,
yes.
Anyway. Okay, electrifying classic cars. This is an interesting idea.
Yep, so Aston Martin are officially going to start converting their old classic cars into electric vehicles.
This is something done by Jaguar.
Done by Jaguar.
Is it?
And
yes. Your prince drove it on his wedding.
I never saw any of that.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, he used an electric E-Type for his wedding car.
Did he now?
Yes, yes.
Very forward-thinking, that.
Yes, yes.
The only difference here from Aston Martins and Jaguars is, I think, Aston Martins says, probably other than that, Aston Martins says that they developed sort of like a cassette EV powertrain, which, you know, which they say is, quote-unquote, sympathetic to the integrity of the original car. So you, I suppose you can have an old Aston Martin V8 Vantage. You could insert an electric motor and it won't necessarily change anything about the drivetrain of the car. So you could turn it into an EV one day and maybe next year you feel like you want that rumbling, unreliable V8. You decide to go back to the V8 and it kind of works. Interesting.
So it's almost like a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, actually. They're saying like it, they could, they'll replace the whole engine and almost like you're inserting a cassette.
Okay.
And like, suddenly, this Aston Martin V8 Vantage is an electric car.
It's a big cassette, isn't it?
Yeah. They say it's completely reversible. So that's quite an interesting idea.
Because the last time I saw a cassette, it was a TDK. And it was quite small.
Oh, these jokes. They're so painful this week. What's going on?
Anyway, I brought this up because there's been a bunch of like small companies in the UK and US who do these conversions, probably not as... mechanically perfect or technically perfect, right. But they have been doing this, putting EV powertrains under Volkswagen buses and Beetles and Range Rover Classics and MGs and all that stuff.
And even an old Mini Cooper.
Which is quite an interesting thing. So I want to ask you, Daniel, as a classic car enthusiast, what do you think about this? Do you think you'll like an EV car that's in a classic shape?
I don't think it's whether I'll like it or not. If I'm alive long enough and government start initiating of clean air policy everywhere, and I wanted to keep my classic car, I'll be forced to go electric. And I would rather have that converted to an electric motor rather than go and buy a modern dolphin-looking, you know, electric car that's got no character and, you know, flat screens all around me, you know. So, yes.
Okay.
No choice.
Moving on from that then, shall we have some car launches?
Yep. Let's so, a local car launch is not very plenty after claims last week, and as well as, you know, we can't really talk about the price because nobody's confirmed about the price. But anyway, we've been spotting the new facelift of the Proton Iris and the Persona, which will apparently carry the Proton X70 sort of style grille. That's quite interesting. Globally, I've only seen one this week, which is the new Mercedes B-Class.
An A-Class that has been... puffed up.
So it's got a bigger boot, a bigger rear cabin space and all that stuff, with the same Mercedes-Benz
user
experience.
The interior looks really nice.
It's gorgeous. Yes. It really is. Also, we saw the new pictures of the Mitsubishi E-Evolution.
The new rally contender.
I don't know, man.
I don't like it. But I can see it winning rallies because it just... comes out looking like a rally machine.
You know what I thought when I first saw it? I thought it was a smaller version of the BMW iNEXT concept. The front...
I didn't think of it that way,
It's got lights on the hood itself. So it kind of looks like BMW probably copied Mitsubishi in that regard. And I'm kind of disappointed about it now.
But in terms of design, if you go to any... you know, especially now during Christmas, you go to any toy shop, you see a lot of radio-controlled cars looking like this. You know, off-road buggies and all that. Yeah. They actually look like this. So it's a rally machine.
All right, that's all the news we have for this week then. Thank you very much, Mr. Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Ladies and gents, stay tuned. When we come back after these messages, we will be having a car review. Daniel will be test-driving the Mini Countryman SE All-4. All coming up here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and, of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Time for a car review, Daniel. Mini Countryman SE All-4. Tell me about it. Mini, okay.
Not maxi.
Exactly. It's no longer a Mini. You know, when I saw this car by itself, I said, nice. Typical Mini shape and everything else. Countryman, you know, it's chunky. It's got all the little Mini bits and all that. And then I took it out for a day and I parked it in a car park near some shops. And right next to it, there was a Toyota CHR. and it was bigger than the CHR.
Was it?
It's slightly taller, slightly wider, slightly longer. Then I thought to myself, the CHR is a crossover, and this is supposed to be a mini.
Minis haven't been minis for years,
yes,
have they?
And it's amazing how they've grown. But, you know, when you see them by themselves, you don't think about their sheer size.
Right.
But when you park them next to something that is supposed to be larger, and this is great because why? Now, the Mini has grown up to be a proper family car. So I would say this Countryman actually is a crossover. It's not a car. It's not a hot hatch. It's not anything like that. But the good news is it's electric.
Nice.
It's electric. And, you know, Mini, when they say they want to do something, they always have to turn to their big brother, BMW. So when it's electric, means it all comes from the BMW engineering department. So it's not coming from your hometown, Richard. You know? So underneath, it's all BMW. So when I got the car, okay, you get inside, it's typically Mini. It's got all these funky dials, it's toggles, switches, and everything else. I love all that because the retro feel is there. But because of my age... And I say that with some reservation.
You sounded painful then.
Yeah. You've got this coloured lighting, ambient coloured lighting. You know, you have to see it in person. You know, the dials all change colours, the centre console. It's like a moving disco machine.
Like a lava lamp going
like
up.
Like a lava lamp. And, you know, it's nice at showroom level.
Ari, if you know what a lava lamp is, do we need to pour them and split up?
Yes,
just checking.
Come on.
He'll Google it later. So the thing is, I find it very distracting. But when my kids got in the car, they loved it. Because it changes colors, you can even tune it to your color preference and things like that. But I find it distracting. And I think after driving it for some time and looking around, because, you know, you drive around KL and you see a lot of Minis. And then suddenly you start thinking, okay, let's profile the Mini owner in Malaysia. So this is what I've come up with. The person is young. When I say young, means under 30. Or the person is a 50-year-old thinking he's under 30. Okay? Somehow or other, they all seem to be ultra stylish. When a person buys a Mini in KL, I'm talking about KL, it's an extension of their fashionable lifestyle. It's not a car for transportation. It's like,
it's an accessory.
Yes, accessory. That's the right word. You know, I'll sit in the car.
It's an expensive accessory. And
true.
When we get to it.
And I'll park it next to a large mirror so I can see myself in the car and say, hey, do I look good in this car? Because that's what the Mini is all about.
The original intent of the Mini was that it was the everyman car because it was cheap.
Cheap, cheerful,
yeah,
and very reliable.
Right.
But as the years went by, of course, you know, they had their own problems. But when BMW first took over Mini, I still remember going to Spain many, many years ago to test drive the first ever modern Mini. And I was blown away because even the exhaust sound, the gear whine, because they gave us a manual, you know, everything was like the original Mini. And I remember coming back and saying, I want to buy an original Mini just for that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, beautiful handling. And that has not died. The handling is still there. The toggle switches, the sound, everything else is still there. But the problem is when it's grown up like there was all these dazzling lights and, you know, all this chrome and everything else, I think it's lost its sense of identity as a real tarmac machine. Because this is a tarmac machine.
Totally agree.
And now it's become a fashionable item, which is not wrong because why? They're selling like hotcakes.
Right.
So I took it out, and of course, this particular model, this is the plug-in hybrid Mini. And they launched it a few months ago, and it was, you know, it wasn't well received because a lot of people thought, oh, you know, plug-in hybrid with electric motor, it might not be too fast and everything else. But again, the base Minis that are now on sale have a 3-cylinder turbocharged engine, which is not that shoddy. It's still got a pretty decent excitement out of it. Of course, the car is heavier, the car is a bit bigger. But, you know, if you watch all the drivers, I've not seen, okay, now, maybe if there's 100 Mini owners out there, I think 99 of them are just going from point A to point B looking good. There's only 1 or maybe 2% who are really using a Mini for what it is, which is driving it hard, enjoying it, going around corners, you know, trying to really maximize that handling powerness of the car. But the rest are just using it like a handbag or a nice shoe. It's a fashion accessory, which I find sad because you pay so much money and you're not using it for what it is. You know, all that engineering is like going to sleep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 99% of my misspent youth was inside a Mini going from point A to point B.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Wait.
Not me driving, as a passenger, I should say.
But how old? I'm just thinking.
When I was when I was about 16 all the way up until I was about 21.
So how did you fit in a Mini? Because you're a tall man.
I'm a tall fella, yeah. The seat went all the way back. There were no passengers in the back. There could never be any passengers in the back. But what I loved about it was the fact that it was small. You were low to the ground. It felt like you were going as fast as you possibly could in something that small and that low.
Yes.
Now, when you look at the Countryman nowadays, it's huge and it feels like a normal-sized car. Did you feel as though you were going fast because you were low to the ground?
No.
That's gone now.
It's completely gone.
That's a shame.
It disappeared in the second generation modern Mini.
Right.
Even though it handled very well, it was already grown up.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as product planners in UK, they said to themselves, people are getting bigger, people are getting older. A lot of new buyers are not bothered about how, you know, Ronan Alton drove it in the Monte Carlo rally and won so many rallies. Until today, he's you know, ravaging the Minis in the countryside. They wanted a nice, classic, old-looking car with modern tech, you know? So that's what they've delivered. You see, what Mini has delivered to the public is what Volkswagen has failed to deliver with the Beetle.
Right.
Because the Beetle is another iconic car which could have evolved in so many stages like the Mini and been a
staple.
Massive hot seller.
Yeah.
Volkswagen could have done a lot better with the Beetle in terms of variants and all
that. It felt childish when they first released it.
Wait, but the Beetle didn't really have sort of like a different variant of it, right? The Mini had a pickup truck. It had
a Clubman.
Huge,
they had the two-door. They had the soft top and everything else. But you see, the Beetle was just the Beetle.
Yeah.
They had engine variants, but when it came out with special editions, it just had, you know, bigger wheels, smaller wheels, stereo, you know, leather interior and all that. But that's not what we wanted. We wanted to see something iconic that followed that classic Beetle shape. But, you know, let Volkswagen be alone with that. Now back to Mini. So we drove this car. And to be honest, we were a little bit disappointed with the way it felt.
Mm.
It did not feel like a real Mini. Because you've got a 3-cylinder turbocharged petrol engine. That's fine. But you've got that electric motor. And when you add an electric motor into a car, it definitely adds weight. So that little bit of excitement was a little bit missing. But the claimed 0 to 100 is 6.8 seconds. I'm not saying it didn't make it 6.8 seconds. When you put two engines together, of course you'll make it. But it didn't feel that fast. I didn't feel that rush of excitement, you know? And I didn't feel that rush even when going around corners. Maybe because when I looked at the car and I got in, I was like thinking, you know, maybe I'll just use it as a fashion accessory like all the rest. I'll drive it, I'll doodle around town, I'll park, I'll get some people to look at me and say, hey, that's an old man in the Mini, you know, that kind of thing. But the car is very functional. You've got a decent-sized boot, you've got actually a lot of space at the back. Fuel consumption actually is very good. I did not test it for its fuel efficiency, but the long time that I had it with me, driving it hard and everything else, the movement of the fuel meter was very, very slow.
What's the range on the electric engine then?
Okay, if everything goes well, it's up to 42 kilometers.
Which is not that great, is it?
Well,
I think it's quite usable.
Most of the hybrids are doing 35, 40, 45. You know, I think the best at the moment is about 50.
Right.
Because you must understand, this doesn't have a big battery in it.
Right.
It's a small battery.
Okay.
And it's a small car.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a maxi, but it's a small car.
Okay.
Okay, so we took it out. I think I would say I enjoyed driving it, but I enjoyed driving it more because people look at you, people smile. Somehow or other, a Mini attracts the attention of people, even though it's got, you know, what I call dull colors.
Mm.
Whether you're driving a Mini in red or Mini in gray, people are attracted because of the shape. You know, the headlamps, the little, decals on it and whatever else, because it just attracts attention. Now, when I send back the car, my only concern was this. At the price, and I'm thinking to myself, as a fashion accessory, how many people are actually going to buy this over the regular, faster, more exciting Mini Clubman?
Right.
Or Mini Countryman?
Right.
Am I really out to save fuel by buying this? And the price, 250,000 ringgit.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap. But you see, even in the UK, it's not cheap because it's got electric motor. But at 250,000, I can also get myself a 3-series hybrid, 330e.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll say, hey, you know, I'll go and buy a BMW, which is bigger, more classy, faster and everything else. But then, would I get as many stares and looks as in the Mini?
But then it's that whole BMW kind of stamp, isn't it? You know, you're driving a BMW. Or you're driving a Mini.
Everybody gives you attitude.
Well, they do. You know,
so,
I mean, it's okay to be in the cool crowd with the Minis.
Yes.
But I think realistically, most people would probably fall into the BMW camp on that.
Because you see, the BMW is for someone who really wants to drive.
Right.
The Mini is for someone who really wants a fashion accessory.
Right.
And that's where I think this guy's really lost a little bit of his edge.
Even the console that looks really complicated and overly done.
No, it's easy to use.
It's easy to use.
It looks complicated, but it's very easy to use. After a few hours, you'll get the hang of it.
All right, let's do the 8-point inspection then, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, who is the car for?
Ultra stylish people like Ali.
Who are its competitors and how would it compare against
them? I would say its immediate competitor, because I'm thinking of something stylish, something that's got, you know, a little bit of like a fashion accessory and around the same price. I would say the Volvo XC40.
Interesting.
What about the GLA though? Mercedes GLA?
You see, the GLA is, in terms of spec, it's a direct competitor.
Yeah.
But the GLA doesn't have this quirky designer attitude about it. Whereas the Volvo XC40, because it comes in two-tone, it's got those big Tonka type wheels. You'll easily notice it on the road. So I think the Mini competes, this particular Mini competes directly with it.
What stands out about it then? The looks.
The looks, definitely the looks.
And how does it drive with an electric drivetrain?
With an electric drivetrain, it's like driving a BMW 3 Series, but without the added engine excitement, you know, drive excitement. Like if you're driving in traffic, if you don't think about it, you think you're in a BMW 3 Series.
And what might annoy you about it? I mean, we've said it's stylish.
Okay, the one thing that really annoyed me, which annoys me with a lot of cars like this, with this kind of technology, is the start and stop in traffic. When the engine stops, when it restarts, it judders a bit.
Yeah.
And the judder is because, you know why, I think they haven't figured out how to really do a seamless restart. Some manufacturers have managed to do it, but the Germans, they haven't really got it, you know, sorted out yet. And that little bit of a judder tends to irritate me. So after a while, I just switch off the ignition start-stop. I'm not interested in saving fuel.
Right.
You know, because you know why, our traffic, nearly every minute you're going on, off. After a while, my teeth start hurting because of my age.
You got to the line before I did. How well equipped is the car?
It is very, very well equipped.
Okay, this is an interesting one then. How is it priced and what's the warranty in the after sales like? I mean, we've already said it's an expensive accessory. So the warranty in the after sales, let's focus on that a little bit.
Okay, BMW and Mini, they've done a very good warranty program in Malaysia. 5 years plus 5 years, okay? So you got warranty, no issue. Service, no issue. Okay. The problem is now, you know, for $250,000, you think to yourself, okay, I've got this car, I've got 5 years of no worries. After that, when 5 years and one day comes along, the technology on this is very high. So I would advise people, if you're going to buy this car, buy it. But on 4 years, 11 months, and 28 days, sell the car. Let the next owner worry, because things will definitely go wrong.
Yeah.
Just like all plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
Things will go wrong, and it's not cheap to fix.
Yeah.
AC-DC converter, air conditioning system, the starter motor, because, you know, you start off, starter motor, the ignition system, all these are not cheap. When they go, they're going to go with a high price because the technology is expensive. Now, maybe 5 years from now, all this will be much cheaper in the market, but for the moment, it's not cheap. And remember, all the plug-in hybrids that are running right now, and the non-plug-in hybrids, but the normal hybrids, you know, they're already starting to come to 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Some of these owners are already starting to get shaky.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are already losing their hair like me. But they don't know the impact completely until they get a bill.
Final question then. Would you consider this car over the others?
For myself, no.
Right.
Because I'm not ready to be totally green. I'm not ready to totally save the earth. I mean, I don't want plastic bags in the ocean. But I don't mind a little bit of smog.
Well, it is a car show after all. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, you have been listening to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. We spoke about how the government is slow in approving car prices, allegedly. MIA have rebranded themselves, flying taxis, electrifying classic cars. And of course, you've just heard the car review of the Mini Countryman SE All4. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and Arif Roo, this has been Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.